So today I'm going to talk about endurance. I'm going to talk about endurance. And looking at endurance in the Webster New Word Dictionary, I found the meaning of endurance as the ability to last, stand pain, to continue, and so on and so forth. So will you please turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And let's read from verses number 3 to 6. Then from there, we skip to verses number 10 to 12. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 to 6. And he said, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." Verse 6, "The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops." Now let's skip to verses 10 to 12. It says, "Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us." Here Paul uses several word pictures in this chapter to illustrate and encourage endurance. In verse 3, he refers to a soldier. A soldier doesn't yell a surrender in the foxhole, also known as the trench. I haven't seen a soldier be in the trench or a foxhole in the battlefield yelling a surrender. He withstands the hardship, the rain, the cold, and the dreadful fear of the enemies because of his commitment to the people he is fighting for. I have been in that position, so I know what Paul is referring to in this aspect of a soldier. A soldier is always single-minded. Paul said, a soldier does not entangle himself in everyday life because a good soldier can't bother himself with fancy and trivial things in life. When you are in a battlefield, you don't need to bother yourself with trivial and fancy things. That's not what you have to think about. All that you have to think about is you have to focus on the task ahead of you so that you doesn't get yourself killed. That's what Paul is referring here. A soldier travels very, very light, with small ration, few letters from home, filthy clothing, unshaven, and matted hair. We all can see the bigger picture a soldier endures. From there, Paul directs his audience attention to the field of athletics. I'm sure when the 1996 Olympics came to Atlanta, there were gigantic preparation all over the city. But the preparation as a city was nothing compared to the preparation of the athletes. Some had been in training in their tender age. Their families spent a lot of money for their training. In fact, athletes' eating was always regimented. Their sleeping was regimented. Their socializing was also regimented. And their bodies were whipped into shape on a daily basis so that they could perform to their highest capacity. I think we all know the last Olympics that they we have in, I think, London, or I can't remember the city, I think it was on London. There was an African American girl who won the overall gymnastic. I can't remember the name, it's Gabby or something like that. And I heard an interview her mother gave to the British press, and he said Gabby was sent to a training camp for, I think, 6 or 7 years to prepare for that particular Olympics. So you can imagine what she went through throughout the whole years that she was at the training camp. You know, this reminds me of the 1992 Olympics in Barcelona, when Derek Redmond from Great Britain was the favorite to win the 400 meters finals. In 150 meters, Derek felt a searing pain behind his right thigh. In agony, he fell to the ground with a torn hamstring. Derek was not willing to give up, thinking about all the preparation that he went through before the Olympics. I don't know how many years he trained towards that. You don't want to give up. So when he fell on the ground with an hamstring, Derek was not willing to give up. Instead, determined to finish the race, he continued hobbling on one foot when a man came to his side who happens to be Derek's dad. He said, "Son, you don't have to do this." "Yes, I do," Derek replied, his dad. So his dad heard him whilst he continued hobbling on one foot. Shortly before the finish line, the dad allowed Derek to finish the race. Derek received a standing ovation from a crowd of 65,000, including those he competed with. All I know is that in a race, those who finish first, or the one who comes first, is the one who received the standing ovation. So how come the whole stadium stood on their feet clapping for Derek? Why? It's because of his determination and the endurance he exhibited to finish the race. That's the reason why. Then in verse 6, Paul changes the nature of his illustrations when he refers to a farmer. A farmer endures in a different way from that of a soldier and athlete. A farmer oftentimes endures disappointment during flood and drought. Farmers scrimp and save and figure out a way to feed the family until the next harvest comes. They do it with no guarantee that there will be no more flood or parched land again. They do it out of determination because they are farmers, and that's their job. So what does this three illustration Paul narrated teaches us, or tells you and me? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12, and let's read the first chapter, Hebrews chapter 12. And let's read the first chapter. Therefore, we also, since we are crowd of witnesses, surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Endurance involves laying aside anything and everything that hinders us. How do we lay aside things that slow us down in the race so that we can also endure? First, we need to identify the hindrances in our life, and also the weight The things that slow us down in our race, that's what we have to identify. We also have to identify the things that make us want to quit, or at least not make us run faster. Second, we need to lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares us. The difference between the two is that sin is a very specific disobedience. A weight or an encumbrance is more subtle and not as easy to see. And I gave an example of a weight. A weight can be laziness, can be a weight, spending a lot of time on social media, not having time to study the Bible and prayer. All these things can be a weight on us. It's not easily to be seen, or you may not know that it's a weight on you. Overeating is also a weight, and we all know that overeating is a sin also. So there's a lot, but these are the few that I can also say here. Endurance involves running the race. Note the last part of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. The last part of it. It said, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. God knows the Christian life is not easy. It will never get easy no matter how long we live. There's never a grinding time. It's always a barren. We will deal with the world, the flesh, and the devil until we die. Whether we like it or not, we're going to deal with that. It's all part of the battle. Satan is not going to say, well, he's 65 now and retired, so let me give him a break too. No. Satan is not going to say that. He will keep on bugging and bugging and bugging us until you die. He doesn't care whether you are 65, 95, or whatever. He will keep on chasing you. Well, Satan never operates that way. In fact, the enemy has an incredible endurance record. I'm not trying to be discouraging here. I'm trying to be realistic. Because endurance requires something that doesn't come easily. It doesn't require something that comes easily at all. We have to stand for something and against something. Running the race involves laying aside weight that bogs down and sin that defeats us. And then run with an endurance. That's what Paul is talking about here. In conclusion, like the soldier, are we single-minded and unentangled so we can fight to the end? Like the athlete, do we know anything about daily discipline so that we can compete and not give up before the finish line? And like the farmer, do we not give up after a huge setback because we know that we are called to do and press on to the harvest? Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, you don't need to turn there. Sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have kept the faith. The question I want to ask is that, can we also proclaim that to ourselves when we are called?